Yesterday we commenced with the third ruku of Surah An-Nahl, verse 22, and I gave the background of the preceding verses. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala spoke about different signs of His greatness, His oneness and His uniqueness, water, rain, mountains, rivers, colors, fruit, crop, produce, all of that. And then Allah spoke about how those who are worshipped as deities besides Allah, they cannot create anything. They themselves are created and they are dead. Either they were never alive to begin with, like idols, or they have already passed on, you know, like those who worship saints who have passed on, or they will pass on in the future. And then to recap the two verses that we discussed yesterday, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. Your deity is one Allah. فَالَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ. So those who have no conviction of the life of the after, they don't believe in the akhirah. قُلُوبُهُمْ مُنْكِرَةٌ. Their hearts do not accept. وَهُمْ مُسْتَكْبِرُونَ. And they are haughty. I explained yesterday that the Mufassirin have written, when it comes to the tafsir of this verse, that people with a balanced mind and an open heart, they don't have to contemplate for too long to realize that there are all the signs around us telling us that you can only worship one Allah, and that there's only one being that is worthy of worship. But when you don't believe in the year after, you have no fear of accountability. You have no fear of standing before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and that is what leads your heart to not accept and to become haughty. Many do not want to humble themselves in front of Allah. It is their pride that prevents them from accepting the truth. In the next verse, which we also discussed yesterday, Allah says, لَا جَرَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. It is a fact that Allah knows whatever they conceal and whatever they expose. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ. Surely He does not like those who are haughty. Whether you reject Tawheed blatantly, openly, externally, or whether you conceal it in your heart, whether your pride is manifest or it's concealed, Allah knows everything. And the bottom line is, Allah does not like those who are proud. Allah does not like those who are arrogant. And proud and arrogance is not only that you walk out with a puffed chest, you walk around with a puffed chest and you use condescending language and you bully people. Those are the obvious signs of pride and arrogance. But pride and arrogance can also be much more sophisticated and concealed. You refuse to submit to the truth. You refuse to accept the truth. You refuse to subjugate yourself to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is also part of pride. Either because it's not the way of your forefathers, that prevented many mushrikeen from accepting Islam, or because your tribe didn't get the honor. Many of the polytheists, and including the Ahlul Kitab or the Yahud of Madinatul Munawwara at that time, they were not happy that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came from amongst their cousins, and that prevented them. So that speaks to pride. Now, verse 24, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ مَاذَا أَنزَلَ رَبُّكُمْ. When they are asked, what is your sustainer revealed? What has Allah revealed? قَالُوا, they reply, أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Tales of the past people. Now, who asks the question? Either ignorant people who want to know, they say, what is revealed in the Quran? Or it is knowledgeable people who want to test the rejectors. They ask them, ماذا أنزل ربكم? What has Allah revealed? Or it is the rejectors themselves. They ask this question because they want to mock by giving the answer, أساطير الأولين, tales of past people. So in other words, when they are asked, what is your opinion regarding the Quran, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam claims to be the revelation of Allah? And their reply is that the Quran is nothing except baseless statements. It talks about Tawheed and prophethood and paradise and hell, and a little bit about the tales of the people of the past. So they mock at the Quran in this way, either by provoking the question, initiating the question, or by responding in this way to the question. Allah then says in verse 25, which is the last verse of the third ruku, لِيَحْمِلُوا أَوْزَارَهُمْ كَامِلَةَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, so that they may carry their full burden on the day of resurrection. وَمِنْ أَوْزَارِ الَّذِينَ يُضِلُّونَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, and they shall carry some burden of those whom they lead astray without knowledge. أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَزِرُونَ. Listen, it is an evil burden which they carry. The purpose of labeling the Quran as such is to show their total disregard and to try and get other people also to not believe in the Quran. So Allah says the result of this is that they themselves will bear the burden of not believing in the Quran, and then they will bear a burden of others who didn't believe in the Quran proportionate to the extent that they were the cause of the misleading of those people. So when you mislead someone, you carry your own burden for doing wrong, and then you carry their burden as well, even though they will have to answer. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that وَمَنْ دَعَى إِلَى ضَلَالَةٍ, that whoever invades towards whoever invites towards deviation will have on himself the sin equal to the sins of all those who followed him in that sin. Nothing will be reduced from their sins. And Allah Himself mentions this. Allah Ta'ala mentions this in Surah Al-Ankabut. وَلَا يَحْمِلُنَّ أَثْقَالَهُمْ مَعَ أَثْقَالِهِمْ, that they will certainly carry their burden. وَلَا يَحْمِلُنَّ أَثْقَالَهُمْ وَأَثْقَالًا مَعَ أَثْقَالِهِمْ, that they will certainly carry their burden and many other burdens together with their burden. So when you lead others astray, then you carry your own sin and you carry the sin of those who became involved in that sin as a result of you. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala save us and protect us.